This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. You know, most people in this world have to do some kind of work every day. But do you know what can be frustrating about your work? It's never completely finished. Think about it. You dust your house, you do the dishes, you wash your clothes, and guess what? You have to do it all over again in the near future. Or maybe you change the oil in your car, or mow the lawn, or pull up weeds from your garden. Guess what? You'll have to do it again. Or maybe you go to the doctor for a physical and he says you're healthy. But that good news doesn't necessarily last forever. In a year or two, he could find a serious health problem. And as Christians, we get up every day with the desire to live for God and avoid sin. But at the end of the day, we must confess that no matter how hard we've tried, we've failed. No matter how hard we work, our work is not complete. No matter what we accomplish in this life, the fruit of our labor doesn't last. Well, tonight we continue our sermon series on Jesus' crosswords. And during this Lenten series, we've learned that Jesus' crosswords are actually sermons. He preached those words to bring us to repentance and also faith in Him, that we might have hope, a hope that is complete, a hope that is finished. That's why we meditate tonight on Jesus' cross words, "It is finished." Now, when Jesus said, "It is finished," what did he mean? Was he simply speaking about the fact that he would soon die? Or do those three words convey a far deeper message? Well, if you examine the original Greek of the New Testament, you will discover that those three English words actually translate one Greek word. It's actually a Greek verb, tetelestai. Now, that one Greek verb, tetelestai, would have carried a lot of meaning for the Jews around Jesus' cross who would have heard it. Now, as you learned in previous weeks, the other cross words Jesus had spoken helped us see how he was fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures by his death on the cross. Well, that word tetelestai is no different. When Jesus said tetelestai, the Jews who were there who knew their Old Testament couldn't help but think of the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. For example, listen to Genesis 1, verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, it is this text that the Jews used to base their time during the day. Unlike us, where our day begins at 12 a.m., the Jews actually began their day at 6 p.m., moving from evening to morning. Now, Genesis 1:31 tells us that God finished his perfect work of creation at the end of the sixth day, just before 6 p.m. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And within the span of those six ordinary days, God created the universe and all life, including the first two humans made in his image, Adam and Eve. And we're told that God's work of creation was perfect. Well, now we're ready to hear Genesis 2, verse 2. It says, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work." So we're told that God rested from his work. Why did he rest? Was he tired? Of course not. God doesn't get tired. He rested because he was finished. he ceased working because he was done. His work was complete. His work of creation was very good. But as you know, it didn't stay very good. The devil, which we learned about in confirmation tonight, he was a rebellious angel. Well, he had recently rejected his place in God's kingdom, and he wanted to drag humanity down with him. So the devil used the serpent to tempt Adam and Eve. And what was the temptation? Well, allow me to paraphrase what the devil said. He said to Adam and Eve, "Hey guys, you don't need God, you know. In fact, God is actually holding you back. He's keeping you from being on his level. But you don't have to live under him, guys. You can take control of your own lives. You can trust your own judgment. So go ahead, disobey God and think for yourselves. Go ahead, eat of the tree. Decide for yourselves what is good and what is evil. Live as you please. And don't worry about pleasing God. He's just holding you back." Do those words sound familiar? The devil speaks similar words to us every day. And every time we sin, and that's a lot, we're actually believing the lie. We are sinners because our first parents also believed the lie. Adam and Eve rejected God and they died that very day, just as God said. Oh, their physical death wouldn't come for hundreds of years later, but their spiritual death was instantaneous. They had become enemies of God in their hearts and were told that all humans descended from them would be infected with the same spiritual death, with one exception. In Genesis chapter 3, we read that God promised a Savior for us sinners. God said that the woman would give birth to a male child who would crush the devil's power and save God's enemies from spiritual death. And we know how this promise was fulfilled. The woman was the Virgin Mary, and her male child was Jesus, God in human flesh. Jesus was and still is fully human, just as we are, but he was without sin. As we heard at the end of our second reading, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Now, why does our reading from Hebrews call Jesus our high priest? Well, we have to go back to Genesis again. You see, a few verses after God promised that a male child born of the woman would crush the devil's power, we're told after that that God made clothes for Adam and Eve. And we're told that he made them out of animal skin. An animal had to die. Blood had to be shed. My friends, that was the first sacrifice. The first picture pointing ahead to the one sacrifice that would clothe all of us with Jesus' own righteousness so that the devil could no longer accuse us. My friends, throughout the history of the Old Testament, we see how God commands his people to offer animal blood sacrifices as a sign that their sins are forgiven, not because of what they do, but they're forgiven because of the one sacrifice that God will provide for all people in his time and in his way. Now, one of the greatest pictures of this one sacrifice is found in the Passover lamb. You might remember the story. God's people were enslaved in Egypt, but Pharaoh would not let them go. So God sent plagues on Egypt to humble Pharaoh. And the tenth and final plague was the death of the firstborn male child. However, God provided a way to save his own people from this plague. What he did is he told them to take a perfect male lamb. They were to kill it, shed its blood, and smear it on the door frames of their homes. And when the angel of death came, he would see the blood of the lamb and he would pass over their home. But there's one important detail we must remember about the Passover. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 46, God gives them this command. He says about the lambs, "Do not break any of the bones." God explicitly says, when you kill the lamb and shed its blood, do not break any of the bones. Why not? Well, at the end of our reading from John chapter 19, we heard these words. "But when the soldiers came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs." And then John goes on to write, "These things happened that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken." So my friends, Jesus is the Passover Lamb of God, whose blood covers the guilt of our sin, so that the death we deserve, the eternal death we deserve, will pass over us. Now, after that event, throughout Old Testament history, when God's people get to the Promised Land, God commands them to build a temple. And he calls priests to serve in that temple. In the temple was an altar, like the one we have here. And on this altar, the priests, and only the priests, would offer various animal blood sacrifices, especially lambs. And that blood dripping down the altar would remind the people that they are forgiven because of the one sacrifice that was yet to come. Well, now we're ready to take a closer look at Jesus' cross words. "It is finished." Remember, our reading from Hebrews said that Jesus was our great high priest. In the Old Testament temple, the priests would go in and offer sacrifices on the altar. But Jesus is a totally unique high priest because he offers himself. He offers himself on the altar called the cross. And now we're ready to tie this all in with the creation week. Remember when Jesus said, "It is finished," the Jews who were there, they couldn't help but think of creation. In fact, this coming Sunday is Palm Sunday. And when did God begin creation? The first day of the week, Sunday. And so the creation week is a picture of Holy Week. Jesus entering Jerusalem during that great Holy Week on a Sunday, journeying to the cross. And now is where we really have to pay attention. Remember, when Jesus said it is finished, the Jews were thinking about creation and how God finished his work of creation at the end of the sixth day. Well, my friends, when did Jesus finish his work of saving us? At the end of the sixth day. And then just as God rested from his work of creation on the seventh day, Jesus rested from his work of saving us on the seventh day. And then John goes out of his way to say that the next day would be a special Sabbath. However, my friends, Jesus' rest in the tomb ended when he rose from the dead on the first day of the week. A sign of the new creation. Jesus' resurrection from the dead on the first day of the week is the beginning of the new creation that will last forever. Jesus' victory over death says that it is finished and God's new creation is very good. Jesus lives, my friends. He has finished his work of saving us so that we can rest in him. My friends, what awesomely good news that is for us sinners. The Bible teaches that those who confess their sins and trust in Jesus They are new creations who can rest forever in God's finished work. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when he says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have gone, new things have come. It is finished." However, as we heard the warning in our reading from Hebrews, if we continue to rebel against God, if we try to work out our own salvation as though God didn't complete it, well then we will never finish the task. We will never be able to work out our own salvation. We will never enter God's rest if we cling to our sin and try to deal with it ourselves. In fact, God spoke of such unbelievers in our reading from Hebrews. He said, the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not combine it with faith. Sadly, today there are people who hear the wonderful message of the cross, but because they will not believe, they cannot enter God's rest. But the good news is that God does not want this to happen to you or to anybody. That's why Jesus speaks his cross words to you. Jesus wants you to take your sins seriously and recognize that you deserve God's eternal wrath. But he only wants you to recognize that so that you can look to the cross and then see God's awesome love for you. That God was willing to punish his own son in your place, that you might be his own forever. Through that sacrificial work of Jesus, you are forgiven. Through that sacrificial work of Jesus, you are clothed with his holiness, and God sees your sin no more. Through faith in Christ, you are a new creation, and you have the hope of eternal rest in God's love. My friends, we must always remember these words from Hebrews chapter 4. God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. My friends, you have heard Jesus' voice, and God has opened your heart to him. You have heard his words, it is finished. Every time you hear those words, remember that God is calling you to turn from your sin and find rest in Christ's perfect and finished work of salvation. Amen.